Let's start. Hello, dear Get More listeners. Today, we are super happy to have with us Jan Thorsen. I hope I pronounce the name properly. So let's start. Jan, who are you?
Yeah, thank you for asking, and I'm happy to be on the podcast. This is great. My name is Ian Tolson, as you said. I'm originally from Whitefish, Montana. It's a very small town up north, about 3 hours away from Canada. And as a kid, I would often go to this ski resort, which was really nice. I got treated really well growing up. And I would see oftentimes like the Canadian into the Canadian areas of where the ski resort was, and it was just absolutely gorgeous. And from there I did a lot of transitioning where I grew up with an entrepreneur, and she was very successful with what she did. And I was very fortunate to be there and be a part of that life. And from there, it led to going to school, and I learned how to weld, and I enjoyed welding quite a bit in the school setting, I would say. And continuing on, it turned into kind of this enjoyable activity where I like to do it, and I'm good at learning hand-eye coordination type activities. And so I decided to pursue it more as a career, and I went into it as a construction part of it. And the term is called iron worker, is when it is when you're on a job site and doing welding and things like that. And I found out very quickly that is the sixth most dangerous job in the United States. The fourth is police officer, I believe. And this is a while back when I was looking this up. And then the first one was like a shark fisherman. So I was like, oh, awesome. This is fantastic.
It wasn't that dangerous then. It
Yeah,
was only the
exactly.
six.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. 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 So the trade that I was doing it, and I hope it's okay for me to reference this, but
Yeah, please.
within that year, the year hadn't even finished yet. I went to a union meeting. This is just like an organization that houses all of the people who do the trade. And they had said that 66 people had passed away from doing the trade that year already, and it wasn't even
Whoa.
finished yet. Yeah, and so I mean, I had been doing it for less than a year, and I was right from the get-go, I was pretty freaked out about the whole thing and people telling me all the stories and just reading up on it. And I was a little bit on the viewpoint of saying, this is a bit much, but I did learn a lot, and I loved the field of the work. I mean, there were days where I was on the fourth story building on top of seeing out of group in Colorado. And then there were days where I still remember having a rope in my hands, and I was pulling on a stair set that had 16 stairs on it. I was literally pulling that thing to come into this little area. And I was like, man, this is the coolest experience of my life. It was so fun. And so while I really do enjoy the work, and while I feel like I could have done really well at that career path, I just had so many situations where I said, man, like, regardless of how much money I can make and how well I could do at this, I really don't feel like this is a path that I want to stick with long term. It's just a little too dangerous for me. And so I decided to move on, and it kind of worked out well because I had dislocated my right arm 17 times, and I needed an
17 times.
yeah just my specifically my right arm. I had
Oh, how'd you do
dislocated it
that?
skateboarding initially.
okay.
Yeah, I was skateboarding, and I was just making a I was making good choices, but not all the great choices in life.
But you have to learn.
And after doing that so many times, it was actually just very serendipitous, I believe is the right word, where it's just like a fortunate activity after a fortunate activity. I decided to basically say, hey, I don't want to do this, but I was still in the union. And my benefits, I had been in the union long enough to the point where my benefits kicked in and they pretty much paid for an arm surgery that was very, very expensive. So it kind of worked out. You know, I got an education. I got to see life in a different way that I don't think, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I don't talk to many people that were like, oh yeah, I remember being on top of a fourth story building and working on top of it and doing that. So I feel fortunate that I was able to live through that experience. And then also getting my arm taken care of when I didn't really have another option, because I was really shoving off the idea for a very long time. And then the doctors just were insistent of like, you should really get a surgery. And I was like, okay, fine.
if you insist.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Of course, the doctor's insisting. Yes. Go figure. So continued on from there and just found different pathways that I took through life and wound up in Florida. So I basically started in Montana, went down to Utah for a trade school, went into Colorado for a different trade school, found something that I was very interested in learning about. And then that led me down to Florida. And from there, I ended up working for a supplement company, which I thought was kind of interesting because as a kid, I've been dealing with this, what I thought was a brain thing for a long time. I was like, you know, I'm having problems with memory. I feel like I have Alzheimer's. This isn't fun. Like I'm forgetting what people are saying within 30 to 45 seconds of what they're talking about. And it's unsettling and I'm aware of it, but I don't know what to do about it. And I don't know why it's happening. And so after all these confusions and trying to consistently figure out what is the right thing and what is the right thing. And even as a kid, I was also put on some drugs. And so I realized that the drugs were making me feel funny and they weren't helping at all. So I actively decided to stop doing the drugs. And I said, you know what, the drugs aren't my problem. Like the drugs were like, hey, what you're experiencing is too much energy and these drugs will help you with school. And after just my own observations, I was like, you know, if you guys are saying that the correct solution to me having too much energy isn't drugs, it's my diet. And like, I didn't have anyone guide me on that. I didn't have anyone tell me that. I just knew for myself that I was like, I need to fix my eating habits. So from a very young age, I was fixing my eating habits and working on transitioning myself to a better and better state mentally. And initially I was kind of on the right path. Like it said, eat certain vegetables and, yeah, stay away from sugars and stuff like that. So initially I was kind of going in the right direction and I was really excited about that. And I kind of kept doing that kind of stuff, but I would consistently eat like bread and stuff like that. And I was the more that I started to pay attention to it, it was like when I was cutting out certain items that it was really starting to benefit me. And it wasn't until I started working for this supplement company that I was able to get the correct information that was basically what I had wanted since I was a child. Like I was like, this is what I was looking for 20 years ago. And from there I noticed that my memory improved. I was able to keep coherent conversations that because of the certain supplements that my muscles were able to withstand longer amounts of time. So that way I was basically improving as kind of an athlete, you could say. And I was always athletic. Like I could go and, I mean, I grew up as a gymnast and I've worked out and I mean, I've gone on biking trips that were as long as 13 hours before with taking some minor breaks and stuff like that. So I'm very used to running my body for long periods of time, but being on the supplements just totally changed everything. And the best part about it is the little detail that I left out was that between dislocating my arm the first time, I had an arm surgery, and I had actually, it was like 14 dislocations. And then I had an arm surgery. And then my arm surgery kept my arm in place for about 10 years.
Okay.
And then at the 10th year, my arm popped out of place three times within about a 15 minute to 20 minute time frame from skateboarding wow. again. And it was devastating because dislocating my arm has handicapped me as a person in so many different ways. Like, I remember times, like, if you've ever tried to reach for something up on a higher shelf with your arm, right. just imagine that it like slides out of place. Like, you just can't even reach for items anymore. It's okay. so debilitating. It's hard to like think with. And so I had to learn how to like reorganize the way that I do actions just based off of this limitation. And it was like weird for me, but I got used to it. And after a certain point of being on the supplements, I realized that my arm was staying in place even after uh-huh. the dislocations. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this supplement is so good that it's fixing my body in such a way where I don't need to go get another surgery. Like, this is amazing for me. And the other side of that, in addition to this, is I had a job where I was able to listen to audiobooks. And so while listening to audiobooks, I listened to Atomic Habits about 14 times. And in that book, he talks about another book, which he says he got some of the information from, which was The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. Okay. And so I started to research that, and I was like, huh, this is fascinating. So those two books kind of go together in my viewpoint. And James slightly mentions it when he is doing his audiobook.
Okay.
And I started to discover things that both of the books were kind of hinting at, but almost not saying. And a beautiful thing about it is what is known as the cues, right? So these are things that cause us to do something else. And James Clear states it as like cue is the context. And that's very accurate. And I think is probably the best widespread definition that someone could give. Cause like if a phone rings, that causes you to makes you want to look at it. If it's daytime, right. that makes you want to like go outside and do something. If it's nighttime, that makes you want to sleep. All of those are cues. But when saying that, it can almost be a little bit too wide ranged. It's like, where do I say this is a cue? And like, how do I start identifying what the narrowness of these cues are? And so while reading all this material and understanding it, I got this flip benefit of not only fixing my body, but getting this like really in-depth understanding of what habits are. And it's not just like eating habits or drinking habits or smoking habits or working out habits. That's actually just one sliver of what a habit is. Like, if someone reads both of those books combined, they get this very good concept of what it is. And so I went through and I basically re-looked at this information, re-looked at this information, re-looked at this information until I basically came up with my own set of facts based off of those books. And that's what I'm working on now, where I have a book that I'm writing and I'm calling it Networking Habits.
Okay.
Where it's different tool, because I struggled so hard with conversations and learning how to interact with people.
Okay.
That's like, networking is supposed to be used for business, right? It's like I'm networking with other people to potentially create business and stuff like that. But for me, it's a lot more on the level of like, how do you have a conversation with someone? How do you engage with someone? And I went from not being able to remember, you know, how was your weekend?
Yes.
And re asking the same question within a minute time frame to having 30 minute, hour long, hour and a half long conversations where I'm not repeating myself. I'm being able to coherently listen to the conversation and ask questions that fit for the entire subject. And so the networking part of it is more or less like here, and I might change the name of the book, but the main parts are here are how to have conversations with people. And this isn't stuff that I've just like thought of and I'm like, oh, I think that's a good idea. This is stuff that I learned about and applied for years and still apply for years, have been applying for years. And then the other part of it is habits and the breakdown of everything that I've learned. And the great thing that I really enjoy about when I teach people things is from what I've observed is because I simplify it so much, it becomes very easy to understand.
Right.
So I have that book coming out. I'm working on getting the money for it together. And I'm really excited that not only do I get to write it, but that I get to help others and help other people with it. And it'll be really fun.
So at the moment, you have already started helping people, or you wait for the book to start helping people?
I mean, I've been helping people on it, you know, like kind of like slowly and little by little. Like, I mean, I helped someone quit smoking. I helped other people kind of clarify why they're having problems with drinking.
Okay. And that's very different from networking.
Yeah, it is different from networking. You're right. Yeah, no, you're correct.
So you would say that what, that at the moment you're doing more coaching or?
For me, I would say that I am doing a lot more networking. I have these Zoom calls every Monday night where I'm getting people. I had a guy on who owned a martial arts school.
Okay.
And I interviewed him on my podcast. It was phenomenal. And he talked about the, I think it was like the 17 or it could have been even 10 different martial arts schools that he has in New Jersey.
Okay.
And the experiences that he's had with them. And then I had another guy, this totally blew me away. It was a company owner that had like 500 employees. I was like, what are you doing on here? It was so unfitting for me. And so it's just, I have been doing a lot of networking lately, but I mean, when I get the chance to help somebody and it can help them quit doing certain things, you know, then that's also, it lights me up as well because it changes someone's life.
But I mean, you don't have experience in quitting things.
Me quitting?
Yeah, no.
100% I do.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. I had to cut out some certain bad habits that took me.
Oh yes, right. From the eating and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's there's that. There's other ones as well. But yeah, I mean, I had to quit doing drugs. I had to quit smoking cigarettes. I had to.
Okay. Oh, good.
I had to quit drinking.
Yeah, a lot of people should.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. You know, there was in France a very good ad once where you see a guy who has at lunch a glass of wine, comes home, has a glass of whiskey, then goes for a glass of wine. And the ad ends, "You sure you don't have an alcohol problem?"
Mm-hmm.
And that was very impactful because for a lot of people, you don't have a drinking problem, you know, when you have something at lunch, at dinner, and it had a very strong, yes, you're an alcoholic when you just have those few glasses, you know?
Wow.
So I get your point. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Hmm.
So when the book comes out, what's the future? Because future? You know that selling books is extremely complex. Trust me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I can only imagine.
I mean, you cannot live on expecting that the book sells. All your knowledge that you put in the book, how will you use it?
So how am I going to use it, or how am I going to release the book? What's the question?
No, it's everything which is in the book. I mean, there are people who are going to read it, but that knowledge is also in your head. How are you going to share that knowledge? How are you going to help people, more people?
Oh, after doing the book?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I've been podcasting for about 5 years now.
All right.
Yeah. So part of the thing is I'm going to be releasing certain parts of it on my own podcast.
Okay.
And then I'm glad that you brought this up, because my other thing that I was planning on doing long term is working with another marketing company that gets people onto podcasts. So it's actually this like very big plan that maybe sometimes I'm like, this is a lot of money. But it's like every step of the way is a bit more proven, you know. It's not
Yes.
like I'm not just because I actually wrote a book and I published it, and it was like it didn't really go very far. So I'm like, okay, clearly just writing the book isn't the
Yeah,
thing.
that's the easy
So
part.
yeah, that's the easier part, because the marketing is the harder part. And so the plan is basically like work with this company that is called selfpublishing.com, and they help you promote and market your book. And I'm like,
Okay.
perfect. And then I know of a couple other companies that one of them is Command Your Brand. Like, they're a great company, and they help people promote themselves on podcasts by getting them on other podcasts that are related in the field of what someone's
Okay.
doing. So
Okay, I
yeah.
had a question. I have to remember my question. So you use the podcast as your primary communication channel? You would say your primary marketing channel?
That's a good question. I would say so. I mean, I like it the most because I've been able to get interviews with some amazing guests throughout the years. And the like when I interviewed those people, like, my jaw was dropping. I was like, one, I can't believe I have this guest on here.
Right.
Two, I can't believe what they're saying. Three, it's just phenomenal that I even got an hour of their time. It's like getting free coaching sessions from incredibly successful people.
Yeah.
And they want to be on, and I'm just like, this is so mind-blowing. I love this. So I really got the benefit of becoming a podcaster and growing into the industry. And I'm a very consistent person, so
Yeah.
it helps.
Yeah, I'm always impressed because I mean, obviously, I also love to have a podcast, but I haven't done it for as many years as you. But I'm always
Nice.
surprised because a lot of people don't think about that as a channel, as a marketing channel. They all think that the best thing to do is to do Facebook ads, and then you lose all your money. You throw it out of the window. So, yeah,
Yeah.
and very few think about podcasting, or at least that's the feeling I have. I don't know what you think about that.
I don't know. I mean, there's different people that do different things.
Sure.
Like you said, I've seen people who do Facebook ads, and then I see people who are really into podcasting. I think the thing is that, and this is just my viewpoint on it, I could be completely wrong, but people want what they know works. And so if
Right.
they see that something works and they see that it works well enough, then they want to try it. But the trick is going from if it works to getting it to work, which are two different things, right? Like, in theory, like, oh, this will be great. I'll do my thing, and
Yeah.
we'll invest da 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 into it. And then after seeing it not work 4 or 5 or 6 times, then you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the duality of seeing it work and then making it work.
Yeah, it's funny. It reminds me of the conversation I had on the meeting I was right before, when we were saying that people want things to happen, you know, just like that in the snap of a finger. Where in fact, everything, people may make it seem easy, but everything needs commitment. Everything needs you to have the right approach, the right attitude, the right action. And as you said, consistency, being on there.
I
So
agree.
pretty. So one question though to come back, why did you decide to do welding at the very beginning? What attracted you to, I mean, you're the first guy I meet who did welding. So what got you to as a young boy to decide to study welding?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I had it as a high school option,
Okay.
and I had some friends that were kind of in it. And I think it was just some natural liking of it. There was
Okay.
some just so the you know, I mean, some people choose carpentry, some people choose like art. You know, I could have chose a second language.
Right.
for whatever reason, better or worse, I chose welding, and I was also into skating, so like we ended up making skateboard rails in class, and
Okay.
yeah, like,
So you had
and
the two sides, you had the benefits of it too. Okay. So it's a nice trip from welding to helping others now. That's quite an interesting evolution.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I kind of look at some, like, there's a really successful guy named Robin Schurer. He owns Truss Roofing in the Florida area. And it's like you can tell that it's like he was raised by his parents, and they were in the roofing industry.
Right.
And like, I almost kind of wish I had that sense of like, I guess, started one thing, stuck with it, and then like was able to create a successful company off of that, just because there's so much like background and experience and like
Good.
almost stability in that. But at the same time, I'm grateful that I've been able to go through what I've been able to go through, and also what I've learned is also valuable for others, I feel too.
Because I mean, you are still pretty young, right?
I
Compared
hope so.
to saying that, because well, I went to that 10X business course certification, and we
Wow,
noticed,
congrats.
we noticed in the room that 80% of us were above 50, and Grant Cardone comes in and he makes the same he says the same thing. He says, yeah, each time I see that most people are in their 50s when they want to become coaches, certified coaches, because
Wow.
we all think that's an age where you reach that age, you have collected enough experience, and maybe you reach that moment in your life where you say, okay, now let me share that so that something of me stays, because in 20, 30 years I'm gone. I always think it's interesting to see younger people also getting there, and starting from way earlier the need to help others. I think it's great. It's
Oh,
amazing.
thanks, man.
Yeah. So now the tough questions. Do you have some insightful thoughts that you want to share with the audience?
Insightful thoughts?
Yeah, something in depth, something powerful.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people who learn different things. And I think one of the most important things to learn is when something stops being useful or it doesn't serve
Okay.
someone anymore. And James Clear mentions this in his book, where if you're on a plane and you're taking a certain trajectory, then you can go. I'm forgetting the exact analysis for it, but it's like, if you just take a plane that's going from California to New York City and shift it like by 1.5 degrees, you land in like four states away. And so there's this concept behind kind of having to retweak yourself a little bit along the way to get the best results. And there was a
Right.
guy, for example, there was a guy that my heart really goes out to him, because he was a Marine that was no longer in the Marines, and he probably hasn't been in the Marines for like 20 years, but he would wear the boots and he would wear the outfit, and he was homeless. And this is one of those identities that was no longer helping him. And maybe he was doing it to try to get money or something like that. But I remember talking to him a few times, and he told me his story and how he had children and he was living on the streets and that type of thing. And I'm just looking at this person who's actually, he's a good guy, but he's stuck in having a certain way of living.
Right.
And I think that's the danger of becoming someone, is when you get stuck being somebody. When you're no longer really growing, but you just stay in the same sort of, I'm not going to change, I'm not going to change, I'm not going to change. And this happens to companies too, right? Like, I think there was a a vehicle company that decided to not do certain changes, and because of that they lost business. You know, I don't exactly remember how all those things go, but Lyft and Uber are really good examples of this, where taxis just kind of went out of business because taxis didn't make that next jump where Lyft and Uber did.
I mean, you have plenty of examples. You have Kodak, who didn't believe digital was going to be big. You have Nokia, who didn't think that smartphones were going to be big. I mean, those are major brands who, just as you said, didn't want to reinvent themselves and gone.
Yeah. So I think that relates a lot to people as well. And the viewpoint, the phrase, the mantra I kind of created is grow like a tree and change like water. So continuously grow and become someone new. And this is more of a Bruce Lee quote, because he talks about water and the ability that it has to be different shapes and sizes, right? And how it can one day be a forceful crash against the water, but then the next be a smooth sip of water.
Mm-hmm.
So being willing to adapt and move into our environment makes that who we can be and could be. And it's a slight difference from I'm not willing to change to, okay, how do I make a slight improvement on my life? And to be honest, that's like one of the only things that's really kept me going through. That's one of the, been the most beneficial things I've seen throughout my entire life, because as a child, I said, I have a problem. I can't remember what people are saying. I have to improve that. I need to get off drugs. And that's all it took. It wasn't much to say, I need to improve. I need to improve. I need to improve. And it just progressively stretched to the point where now I feel like I'm doing better physically than 10 years ago. And that's unheard of. Like, I've actually seen my eyesight improve and those sort of things. So, a lot of it relies on just getting a little bit more information that I notice helps. If it helps me and pushes my life to go in a better direction, I keep it.
Nice. Thanks. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So where can people find you if they want to talk with you, if they want to learn more from you, maybe get your next book?
Yeah. So I would say Successful Solutions is the name of my podcast. You can also go over to iantolson.com. So it's just IAN and then TOLSON.com. And that way they can get the ebook, and that's just a free ebook on habits as well. And then, the podcast is great. And I feel very fortunate, like I said, that I have had it and have had some wonderful guests as well.
Excellent. So guys, go visit Jan's website and podcast. And so Jan, thanks a lot for your time. Really appreciated it. And we will hear more from you, I guess, when the book is ready.
That sounds fantastic.
Bye, everyone.
All right. Cheers.